the smoke rising out of the steel mill and saying to me, "Kid, you see that?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "That ain't smoke. That's life. When those mills are working, keeping a weapon." It still sends little chills of fear up and down my back. Won't always be that way. People used to believe in work, really believe in it. And they lived where they worked. This is Independence. A town where every last soul lived and died around his work. And now it's a ghost town. High up in the Rockies at 9,000 feet, nothing but chill. The sound of the wind. And the dead Ajax mine. Not a soul. The mine ran out, and they left. It's a modern Pompeii. 1,000 years from now, they'll be digging up the artifacts of our time. But things are changing. People are wondering, why, if I like the ocean and the sky, why should I only do it for 2 weeks? Out of every year, that's only 2 weeks out of 52. Why not live there? And already, communities are starting. You can just see them if you care to hunt them up. That are the forerunners to the 21st century. For example, here, there's an island off the coast of Florida in the Gulf of Mexico. It's warm and soft, and for people who like swimming and fishing and sky and sun, endless beaches, wilderness, fantastic Everglades, they're building a community which should be done by maybe the year 2005, when most of us are long gone. And they're protecting the environment. They're keeping the eagles there. And making sure that the people who live there are as free as the birds. And the people who are moving there, these are not old age retirees. It's a kind of hedonistic attitude towards life and just being and existing. Some people move there and will work at any job, but maybe a bartender or something. They may have a PhD in philately. As long as they can spend their life doing the things they want to do, the way they want to do it. The 21st century. Marco Island. And the sky is just as deep blue as some of the blues in the eyes of girls you dream about. You could smell the Everglades everywhere you go. Just a few hundred yards from where we are right now, there are alligators. And there will be alligators for all time. Cottonmouths, great bass, herons, rare birds, spoonbills. The American Eagle. My father really wouldn't have understood this. His first answer would be to this image. This curious thing that's coming in the next century. Yeah, but if a man don't work, he ain't nothing. There's others who say if a man doesn't think, he's nothing. Doesn't feel, he's nothing. If he doesn't live, he's nothing. Oh. The 21st century is beginning in little patches all over our country. And the 19th century is still living and dying the slums of the cities. Clouds, grass, sky, wind. Quiet. Water. Above all, space and air. Water in the Gulf, beach that goes on and on and on. Snow white sand, so white that it looks like sugar in your hand. You feel that you could just scoop it up and put it in your coffee. There are those green blue shallows. Gulf of Mexico. People are going there now to live, not for vacations. It's a new way of thinking. Designed to be completed the year 2000. Or a man can have a horse. And all the houses and roads and buildings are connected by bridle paths. You can actually ride your quarter horse to the A&P. Load it up with frozen turnips and then stop by your work. Tie your horse up, go in and pick up your mail and ride home. A lot of the things that people took for granted in the 19th century are going to be part of the lives of the 21st century people as naturally as breathing. Pike's Peak in your back window. Those fantastic Rockies. Why go there just for 2 weeks and enjoy them? A lot of people are saying, why not live there? I doubt whether she'd ever seen a parking meter. And they really are working on these houses and the whole town to be finished by the year 2000.
Like when the first Neanderthal man was picking out that first cave, and he decided that the view wasn't right, and it leaked. And then when he finally moved in, he had all those bones piled up around his feet. He's got that fire that's been going for 10 years. He gets that deep urge, that itch, down inside of him. He's got to get moving. You know, the trouble with houses is that they tend to anchor you. You know, you're anchored in one place. And I think this is a trouble for a lot of people. Because a lot of us are kind of migratory, you know? And at the same time, we're nesting birds. And it's a kind of a contradiction. Now, if you could have a house that was mobile, and at the same time it was a nest, you'd have it made both ways. How do you like this? This is a real house, you know. This isn't a trailer. Sleeps six, it's got a john, it's got an automatic garbage disposal. You just press a button, it shoots the garbage up in the air in the trees. say it's great. And you're not anchored in one place. You can just go and go. If you don't like Arizona, you can head for Florida, see? And if you don't like, I'm going to make a turn right here. Watch this. I'm turning my house. Decided to make a right turn. Now we're heading towards Texas. Oh, man. Well, you know, this business of the portable house is not particularly new. I ever tell you about the time that Zudok, my old man and Zudok and all the guys from the office just sit around and they drink beer every Saturday night and play poker and once in a while go out to the bowling alley. And boy, if there was ever anybody that had the itch, it was my old man. I want to tell you, he used to sit and read automobile catalogs the way other people read Proust. He'd just sit there and chortle over him, you know. And my mother, of course, being a typical woman, she was a nester. So the two of them never really made it that way. One night, they're all sitting around. It's Saturday night. I'm a kid, see. Never realizing I'm about to have one of the great educational experiences of my life. Zudok comes over, you know. Zudok worked with my old man, Gertz. Sherby, the whole gang, they're all sitting around eating salami sandwich and drinking beer and telling dirty stories and yelling and hollering. When all of a sudden Zudok says, "All right, you guys," you know, he has this quality to him like he's about to give an important announcement. So he says, "All right, you guys, knock it off. I got an important thing to say." And so Gertz put down a bottle of beer and he says, "All right, shoot, Zudok. It's the first important thing you ever said as far as I know. Let's hear it." And of course, I've got the old ears going. I figure it's going to be another dirty story. I never forget the time Zudok told one about the turtle with the four-letter word carved on his back who wandered into Sunday school. But that's another story. Anyway, I'm sitting there waiting to see what's going to happen, and Zudok stands up, and he's got his glass of beer. He says, "I did an important thing today." And they waited. And then Zudok says, "I ordered a house from Sears Roebuck." And everyone sat there for a minute, you know, with their mouth hanging open. He ordered a house from Sears Roebuck. Did you know that you could order a house from Sears Roebuck? And it came in a kit. I mean, a real house. I'm not talking about a portable trailer or something. A real house. And so Shirley says, "What kind of a house, Zudok?" He says, "A Cape Cod Imperial. 5 rooms. Comes in a kit." Well, they just sat there stunned. Because not only did nobody in this crowd owned a house, none of them even paid rent. They were all squatters. The old man thought about that for a minute. He says, "What do you mean it comes in a kit? You mean a house comes in a kit? Is it made out of balsa wood or something?" Now watch me negotiate past this Ford. How do you like that? It isn't everybody who can steer his house like that. Oh, this is going to be exciting. Anyway, the old man says, "What is it? Does it come in? Does it come in?" Wow. There we go. Got to admit, I do this pretty well. The old man says, "Does it come in a kit, you know, with the balsa wood?" And Zudok says, "What are you talking about? Balsa wood. This is a real house. It's Cape Cod. It's Imperial. It's got 5 rooms. And he said, "I'm going to tell you, they're delivering it next Saturday down at the railroad siding, you know, down by the roundhouse. And I'm going to have a big beer party, and I want all of you guys to go down and help me unload the house off the freight cars." Well, I want to tell you, for the whole week, there was nothing but phone calls, excitement, because Zudok's house was down at the siding in a freight car. I mean, Just think of it. A guy's house is in a freight car. And it comes in boxes and a kit. I mean, you got to realize what kind of excitement this caused. I mean, the old man loved kits. He was always building model airplanes and stuff like that. I mean, you know, he didn't have any work, so he built model airplanes. So he loved kits. Well, Saturday came, and they all went over to Zudon's house, and everybody had his car. I mean, my Uncle Carl came along with his panel pickup truck from the cleaning place where he worked. One of the guys borrowed a milk wagon. And there were about 15 cars in Zudok's backyard. He lived in this shack in the woods. And he's about to go down and get his new house out of the railroad tracks. And by the way, he had to sign a bill of lading, the whole business. So they sat around a table and they drank beer. And they were talking about how they were going to build a house. Zudok says, "Now look," he says, "we're going to have a party. All you guys are going to get down with me. We're going to put all the boxes into the trucks, into the cars. We're going to come back, and we're going to start to put it together." Sounds so good, doesn't it? Just put it together. And, of course, I'm sitting there just digging this. Well, all the while, it's beginning to rain outside. The rain is drifting down. And it's getting kind of cold. All the cars are parked out in the yard, and everybody's getting excited. And I would say that between the 15 or 20 guys that were present, they must have downed at least 30 gallons of beer. I mean, they were knocking it down and yelling and hollering, and the whole party atmosphere was beginning to grow. And finally, Zudok picks up the phone, and he calls down to the roundhouse. He says, "You got the thing ready?" You could hear him talking on the phone. He says, "Okay, gang, let's go!" And he falls down the front steps. All the beer. With my Uncle Carl behind him. Well, 10 minutes later, the whole procession is moving along the railroad tracks. Have you ever been to a roundhouse, to the freight yards, on a Saturday afternoon when the rain is drifting down? The guys were all excited because there were two freight cars just standing on a siding all by themselves. Zudok goes into the little shack. Guy comes out with him. Gives him the seal. Says, "This is it. Get it out of here by tomorrow morning or forget it." Says, "We can't keep this on a siding all day long. Now get this stuff out of here." And so Zudok swings the door open. And I'll never forget this. The whole side of the freight car slid back. You know, those big sliding doors? And you could see stack after stack after stack of beautiful cardboard sealed cases, all with numbers on them. I mean, very involved serial numbers, like 6SJ7GT, 6SJ7GL, 6SJ7GD. Everything was carefully numbered. Those beautiful sealed boxes. Well, Gertz takes one look at that and says, "I wonder what's in the boxes." And he climbs up into the thing and he hands a big box down to Zudok. And Zudok staggers off with the box. And they're packing them one after the other on the ground next to the freight train. And the rain is drifting down. And they're drinking more beer. 10 minutes of unloading. And they couldn't resist. Heine Gertz opens one big box. "I want to see what's in this one. Do you mind, Zudok?" Zudok says, "No, go ahead, open it up." He opens up the box. With that, Gertz says, "Hey, look at this, windows. Hey, there's windows in this. Look, it says attic window." And Zudok says, "Well, I'll be darned. I wonder what's in this one." He opens the thing up. He rips it open with his penknife. "Hey, guys, look at this. Here's the John." With that, of course, Sherby decides to try it. And from that minute on, it went downhill. It broke out into a party. The guys are climbing into the freight car and throwing boxes out. And as each box would fly out, another guy would open. "Hey, here's the Venetian blinds! Look at this, hockey!" Well, within a half an hour, Zudok's house is spread over 2 acres. And it's getting dark. It's raining harder. And Zudok is getting a little sick. And all of a sudden, my old man takes a look at his watch, says, "You know, it's getting late." "Gee, you know, I forgot. We're going over to Bernice's house tonight. Hey, Zudok, I'll see you later. Give me a call next week." And Zudok says, "Wait a minute." And already, Heine is driving down the street and he's gone. I got in the back of the car with the old man and I could see the rain drifting down. I'll never forget that sight as long as I live. As we pulled out of the freight yard, thousands of empty boxes. You could see doors with doorknobs in the rain. You could see a bathtub there, and somebody had left a shoe in it. You could see a great big package of light green wood shingles. You know, after all, this was a Cape Cod Imperial house. It had light green shingles. The light green shingles were spread out like a pack of playing cards all over the mud. 3 or 4 guys had walked on them. Somebody had opened up a keg of nails just to see what was in it, and he found out the nails were all over the floor of the freight car. One of the greatest things of all, have you ever seen a furnace in 322 pieces, all carefully coated in each package, and no packages? Nothing but pieces of a furnace. And in the middle of all this stood Zudok. The rain coming down. He's got an empty can of Pabst Blue Ribbon in his hand. As he's standing amid the ruins of his brand new Sears Roebuck Cape Cod Imperial house. The old man puts the car in gear. We start driving out. It was at that moment that I heard one of the most piteous cries I've ever heard in my life. As a matter of fact, sometimes even now. And after that, after all, I was only 10 at the time. It stuck with me. Some nights now, at 3 in the morning, I wake up and I can hear it echoing from the ceiling. Oh, boy. Zudok. With the rain coming down. His house spread all over the ground next to him, hollering, "Hey, fellas! Hey, fellas, come back! Help! Help!" The old man never looked back, just kept driving. And that night, he went out to see Bernice and Al. And he never mentioned Zudok's house again. Yeah, houses cause guys a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. Sometimes it causes guys' lives to just fall apart. I'm just drifting along with a breeze. This is the kind of house to have. No trouble, no problems. When you want to park it, you park it. When you want to trade it in, you trade it in. And it doesn't come in a kit. Poor Zudok, he was ahead of his time. I'm just drifting along with the breeze. Independence gave up the ghost about 1934, 1935, when the Ajax mine ran out. You know, it's funny, they named it Independence. The one thing they didn't have was independence. minute the work quit, there was no life. 9,000 feet in the Rockies.
Whew.
Nothing but wind. Blowing through the cabins. And sky. And cold and snow. But they went there because there was a mine. And there's no way to put those people down because they were different. Kind of people we are. The people of the 23rd century will think we're kind of strange. Yeah, one day I can see some guy pointing up to the sky, talking to his kid and saying, look, kid, you see that sky? That ain't a sky. That's life. Where there's a sky, there's people. That means there's life. Look at that sea over there. Not a sea, that's life. The kid'll stand there with his mouth hanging open, thinking his old man is making another dumb remark. Independence, Colorado. Pompeii. You can almost see the ruins of your own life there. You imagine somebody digging up your stereo set, putting it in the British Museum of Archaeology? Maybe a piece of your television set. Rabbit ears. Maybe your bowling ball. Yeah. I guess in the end, no matter what kind of life we live, no matter how we live it, no matter where we live it, we're always going to feel that someplace, somewhere, somehow, there's a better system, there's a better way of life. It's the constant search for paradise, Eden. And what do we get? Worn out tennis shoes, busted pots, rusty nails. And it'll always be that way. Saying, if we can only get out of this place, it's beginning to hem me in. Got to go. I got to go. I got to go. Uh-huh.